everybody's holiday.
Good. Yes.
You know, Thanksgiving, you know, I'm reminded on how much I miss home cooking. Because I've been on my own for the last several years, and I don't go home often. So when I get to go home and home cook, I'm like, I appreciate this a lot. I like to say good morning to our visitors. And, you know, not trying to recruit y'all, but let us stay and get to know you and see some of your likes and dislikes and come back. So today I want to talk about how to be content in all circumstances. And I'm going to mention myself a lot because I struggle with that. So how many times in life have any of you all been dissatisfied or discontent? Oftentimes, I have been dissatisfied. Dissatisfied with the direction my life is going, dissatisfied with my career, dissatisfied with various relationships, and yes, even dissatisfied with the Patriots. I was expecting a laugh out of that one. Especially recently. But why? You know, why are we dissatisfied with life at times? Why are we not content in all circumstances? Is it wrong to want more out of life? You know, Paul tells us to be content in all circumstances. But do we really know what that really means? Do we really know how to be content in all circumstances? Do we really know how not to allow our trials or unfulfilled desires to rob us of our joy in the Lord? Now let's dive deeper into Paul's life for a second to realize where he's actually coming from. To start that, we need to start from the beginning. So as we all know, Paul had a high position in the Jewish community. He had financial stability, praise, and many other perks associated with that. Fast forward as Paul is writing to the church in Philippi, he is currently in prison, wrongly. Previously, Paul has been stoned and beaten and shipwrecked, falsely accused. All these horrible things are happening to Paul. All at the same time, Paul was trying to do his part to spread the gospel. So many of you guys sitting in the audience or at home are asking, well, how does this apply to us today? Well, as I mentioned, I want to talk about contentment in all circumstances and how do we find joy in troubles. And just to name a few that many of us could be potentially struggling with, we could be struggling with finances, or various professional relationships, personal relationships, working relationships, with health problems. I mean, there's too many things to name that, you know, people are struggling with. We're all struggling with something. In addition, we all desire more out of life. We all desire better material blessings, increased finances, that new car, that higher paying career. And I'll speak for myself, I struggle with finding contentment and joy in my present circumstances. I think I mentioned in a previous lesson, I often allow my circumstances to dictate how I feel. I often allow the desires that God has not fulfilled to control my emotions. And I wear my emotions on my sleeve, so it shows when I'm having a bad day. But where does it come from, though? Where does that dissatisfaction, dissatisfied feeling come from? And I'm going to speak for myself. For me, the number one source of my discontentment comes when I'm feeling dissatisfied with the Lord. I'm dissatisfied with God for not answering prayers in my time. You know, in the midst of hardships and difficult times, I feel like my crying out to God's name, which leads me to my first scripture. You know, Psalm 37 says, be still and wait on the Lord and wait patiently for him and do not fret when people succeed in their ways. And that's hard, especially with the age of social media and TikTok. And you're seeing people, you know, get these nice cars, get these things. And I'm just like, when am I going to have that? You know? Sometimes I often forget there's more to my relationship with God than just asking him for something and believing that he should provide it when I ask him immediately. I mentioned this in a previous lesson about comparing. And I do a ton of comparing. You know, social media is the cause of that. Oftentimes in college or grad school, I found myself comparing myself to a ton of people who I perceived had it better. I want to go back to Paul for a second, though. And I want us to imagine how the New Testament would have went if Paul had the same attitude as I. You know, Paul started comparing himself to other Christians who had it carried on. He's not being stoned. He's not being beaten. He's not being shipwrecked. You know, they're doing the same job I'm doing. Why is this happening to me? You know, I wonder what the New Testament will look like if Paul would have did that. And Paul had every right to do that. You know, he had those horrible things happen to him. You know, I would also add, you know, comparison comes from our mindset. And the preacher from Blacksburg Brady's church calls it stinking thinking. And, you know, allowing us to become overwhelmed and overrun with our thoughts. I would like to encourage you guys to kind of write down the sources of your discontentment and ask God to pray for those. So how do we find contentment in our circumstances? And I've been studying this a lot over the last several weeks. You know, I have a couple. One way is to have a spirit of gratitude for the things God has already blessed us with and the circumstances he's already delivered us from, knowing that God will provide and supply our needs. And Solomon, you know, said, keep falsehood and liars from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? And I know personally, sometimes when I have too much, I tend to rely on my own abilities. I think Mr. Jerry talked about earlier, one of the things God has tested is haughty eyes. And I know sometimes I can walk around with a proud mindset almost, but I'm, things are going too well. You know, and I confess, you know, it could come off as a little arrogant. Somehow, some way, I need to have a balance of having confidence that doesn't lead to arrogance. Another way to look at this is, what does God want me to learn in this difficult circumstance or trial? How can I find wisdom and grow from this experience? You know, Scripture tells us in Hebrews 12, verse 6 through 8. You know, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he hits you. But the Lord disciplines the ones he loves and chastens everyone he accepts as a son. And I would put a disclaimer, you know, I don't think it's discipline if you use a child or if you use a grandmother or something like that. But some of it could be discipline. Some of it could be to, you know, bring us back down to earth when we're getting a little more proud-minded. And that's hard. You know, I don't pretend to know, to say that that's my first instinct. As a matter of fact, I do the polar opposite. I don't even start questioning God. Like, why is this happening? Why did the clock strike on me this time? Why did you allow this to happen, Lord? We're going to go back to Paul for a second. You know, Paul had a thorn in his flesh in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 5 through 9. And he said, I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I will not be a fool because I will be speaking the truth. But I refrain so no one will think of me more than is warranted by what I say or do, or because of these surpassingly great revelations. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest upon me. And I want to stop here for a second. You know, we're not given the specifics of the thorn or what the thorn was. And as a new Christian or someone struggling may ask, why is Paul boasting about his hardships? Simple. It's not that Paul is boasting just to boast or to bring attention on himself. Paul isn't just boasting about his hardships with the hope that secretly someone will feel sorry about him. No, Paul answers this in verse 10. He said, that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight and my weaknesses and insults and hardships and persecution and difficulties. For I am weak, then I am strong. In other words, Paul is stating that his hardships will make God's power shine. God's power is made through hardships and trials and difficult circumstances. And like I said, I'm guilty of this. I tend to pray to God to easily remove me or deliver me in that circumstance. Instead of asking God, how can I use the situation to bring more glory to you and make your power shine? When we're in the midst of our difficult seasons, sometimes my first instinct is not to ask, how can I come out of this more like you, God, more holy? But that's another way we can look at things. How can this situation make me more like Christ? You know, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. And that scripture is in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 through 16. And once again, that's not my first instinct. You know, I'm not thinking, how can I be more like Christ in this situation? You know, most of the time I'm thinking more negative. But how can this situation, you know, develop my fruit of spirit? How can I come out of this situation more patient and kind and compassionate? What would it look like if I was one of God's holy people in this? How can this make me more like Christ? How can I respond to more like Christ instead of react like the world will tell us? The world will tell us, you know, well, you should get mad and angry and curse and do this and do that to get out of the situation. But Christ wouldn't do that. Finally, I'm learning more and more every day, especially studying this, that contentment comes not just because God has brought us out of our present circumstances or God has increased our material wealth or any other prayer we've been praying for, but contentment comes from when we learn to live with our present circumstances. And I've often had numerous conversations with Chris from Glen Allen, and he's like, Tyron, yeah, you're upset. Yeah, you think things would be better if things were worked out, you would be happier. But how can you find joy in this situation? How can you not allow this situation to rob you of your joy? Which too many times I've allowed my present circumstances to just bring you up and stuff. And I'm not thinking of all this because I'm thinking about the here and now. So I want to focus on joy in Christ. You know, I believe that's the ultimate way to learn to be content in all circumstances. You know, what is Paul trying to say to the church in Philippi? Simple. Paul is saying that he found his joy in Christ. You know, the overarching theme of the book was to encourage the church of Philippi to live joyfully in every circumstance, to encourage the church of Philippi to endure hardships. In Paul's case, he found joy in living for Christ, doing his will and enduring hardships and persecution to the end. He found joy in serving the church. He found joy in helping other people who were in need. You know, lastly, Paul found joy in knowing Christ in a relationship, really developing his relationship with Christ. You know, Paul stated in Philippians 3:10, I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. All of these things will help us allow us to be content in all circumstances. You know, Paul saw the bigger picture, and it wasn't about him and his needs, it was about the Lord. So after saying all this, you know, what message am I trying to convey? We all have needs and desires. We all have difficult circumstances, and that's a part of life. Sometimes life can just be discouraging. How can we find joy in all of our circumstances, be content in all of our circumstances, and find joy in the Lord? And as mentioned throughout this lesson, it's not easy. You know, like I said, I often allow my circumstances to dictate how I feel, and often allow the desires that God has not fulfilled to control my emotions. And up until recently, and I'll still add to an extent, I make it about me. and I'm trying to get better at accepting what God currently has me at. Dissatisfaction and comparing are just a few sources of my discontent, man. And as mentioned, I want to encourage each and every one of you here today and listening to take time to write out the sources of your discontentment or things that are robbing you of your joy. Write them out and pray that God will remove them. But in addition, pray for a heart of gratitude. You know, being grateful for the things that God has blessed you with and the difficult trials he's already delivered you from. Pray to grow during this time. You know, what lessons do you want me to learn from this, Lord? What are you trying to teach me? Help me use this situation to draw closer to you. And in addition, God, how can I come out of this situation more like you, more whole? And finally, do not allow me to lose my joy in the Lord. I want to encourage each and every one of you that if your current circumstances are unanswered prayers are causing you to stumble, then I want to encourage you to come up and have an elder pray for you. If you're struggling with any other sin in your life, I want to encourage you to repent. And if you're not a Christian and you have the desire to be a Christian, we have warm water in the back, and we can make that happen today. Let's stand and sing.